Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Last Word FM podcast, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. In this episode, Eloise Bertil speaks with interdisciplinary artist Sonliwe Pamisa. Sonliwe put together an exhibition at the Roundhouse called Stories We Could Tell. Here's Eloise in conversation with Sonliwe.
Right, so hi everyone. I'm Eloise. I'm a bilingual French-English podcast producer and journalist. And I'm here with artist Sonliwe Pamisa. So, Sonliwe, you're not performing at the Last Word Festival, but your work is all about capturing stories and especially untold perspectives.
Yeah.
And it is around us today because your exhibition is right here in the Roundhouse Bar and Cafe on display. So, yeah, this will be great for this conversation. So I wanted to learn more about you and your artistic journey because storytelling has always been a passion of mine. And I come from Réunion Island, which is a former French colony near Madagascar. And so your work really resonates with me. And that's why I was curious to do this. So first of all, I guess let's talk a bit about your exhibition, which is called Stories We Could Tell. So central to this exhibition is your 2022 trip to Zimbabwe, your homeland.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about what motivated that trip personally and artistically?
Can definitely do that. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. I really appreciate just being able to take this time to have this conversation. I think whenever you put art out into the world, you're not, I don't know, everyone does it for different reasons, but whenever I do it, I'm not necessarily looking for like, oh, I'm going to put out and get a certain response or whatever, but I kind of look at it just like, it's like having a garden. It's like whether someone sees it or not, it still exists. So I think I'm kind of, and following that, within that realm of thinking, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm always questioning intentions behind just anything. I don't know if that makes me like super skeptical or something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Like, intention is a really big thing to me. So it's kind of like, even with the trip, you know, it's a really weird thing living somewhere that you're not from. You know? I mean, I know a lot of us do it, but then it's, I don't know, it's just like kind of living somewhere where, and that place constantly telling you that you're like not from here. That's what like makes it weird, because then it's kind of like, well, I am here, so what does that mean? You know, logically, it's just things just aren't following, and it's like, you know, when you're first dealing with just, I don't know, just a lot of unnecessary things that we just deal with in society, you know, growing up in the UK, you know, as diaspora, just growing up in a, you know, black people make up like 4% of the population in the UK, you know. I grew up in the north of England, I grew up in Leeds, so. And most of that 4% is in London. I think it's like close to half of that is like in London. So everywhere else throughout the country is kind of like salt and pepper sprinkled. It's just, you know. So it's just a weird thing to try and, I don't know, be yourself in a place that's not really trying to have you be yourself. So I just kind of always had this feeling where it was like always just questioning, like, you know, this is home in some aspects. You know I'm from here. You know, I've grown up here. You know, I moved here when I was 2. So I've grown up here. This is as much as my, you know, my home, as much as anyone else. But I don't know, why doesn't it feel like that, you know? I suppose in addition to that, my mother kind of, you know, especially as well, like being immigrant families, you're always referring to home as another place as well. So then that's also adding another layer to it. So in that realm, you kind of become aware that, like, you know, home exists. Home's not really a physical thing like that, because there's all of these things, but you're trying to make sense of it, right? And I just had this feeling that I was like, I just need to go back home. Like, there's something that's kind of missing. Also, growing up in a family, like, extended family as well, is like majority women. So even like culturally and custom-wise, you know, things are different for men and women. So even trying to understand my role in that aspect as well, I kind of felt like there's a lot of information that was missing, because it's then also like you're growing up away from where your native home is. So, you know, you're kind of growing up with all these customs and cultures and stuff like that, that, you know, you're meant to abide by, but they're not exactly what happens here. So it's always trying to like just navigate these two things. I just felt like, I don't know, there's just something calling me. And it just, yeah, I'm happy I listened. It was it was a crazy, it's definitely a wild trip. Everything when I got there felt, I mean, of course it felt very familiar. It didn't feel like I was coming to a new place at all. It kind of felt like, I literally got there and it kind of felt like I was like, oh, so this is where I left this. Like, do you know what I mean? It was a bit like, and then it was just a lot of like mad experiences on that trip. But yeah.
Yeah, I really relate to everything you just said. I guess, so you said you left when you were 2, so you don't have a lot of memories from before you left.
No.
But do you feel like that trip changed your perception of Zimbabwe as like a country, as like a culture?
I think in some aspects, 100%. Just because, you know, once you are physically somewhere, you know, stories can never do what something is really justice. Like, you know, a lot of things are missed. You know, everyone sees things differently. So if you're telling a story of the same experience that we both had, you're going to highlight certain details that I don't. So even through that, like hearing all these stories and looking at all these pictures and stuff like that, I never felt like, I didn't have any of my own memories in that way, but it was like the collective memory of like my family and knowing these people that they're then speaking of. It's almost like they're my memories as well, because they're your family memories, right? So it's, but at the same time, because it is home, it's like we also, we're always aware that like what's being told in the news and stuff is actually just lies, like. So it's also like the perception wasn't like, oh my gosh, people are doing it. It was just kind of like, oh duh, like, you know, it's just coming back home. It really wasn't like, it was mad. It was mad for the reason of just being in a place that, like, I don't know, just being black in the UK, man, like, you're always aware that you're black. So it's just nice being in a place where it's like, that's just not a thought.
Not your personality.
Yeah, it's like everyone hears that, you know? So it's just not a thing in that way. Like, racism and things like that do operate differently, you know? The conversation there and here is different. Like, it feels back home like that. People are more open about the things like that, things that are so big in culture in a certain way. In one hand, of course, like there'll be another aspect where it is quite like you don't really talk about certain things, but it's also just like when you are having the conversation, everyone's very frank and direct and very comfortable to just have the conversation as opposed to still trying to tiptoe around da 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 da. So you just, I don't know, it just feels like there's more progression in terms of just thinking at times that kind of comes from that. I don't know, I go on a lot of tangents, so I'm going to give you a heads up.
No,
right
this
now.
Makes perfect sense. Because you were talking about how you felt maybe some sort of disconnect from, like, as in the UK didn't exactly feel like home to you. Mm. Do you feel like then, like, going back to Zimbabwe allowed you to reconcile different parts of yourself, like of your identity? And
definitely.
Like, yeah.
Definitely. Because the whole time I'm here, before that trip, I'm like hyper aware that I am not from here in a way. Once I'm there, and even within like Shona custom, you kind of have, I'm guessing it'll probably be the same, just like diasporic things. You have, there'll be those things that your family deem to be British behaviors that they're just not happy with, or like when you're kind of exhibiting certain behaviors, they'll just be like, oh, that's like because you're here type thing, and it's like, that's not what we do, we're not.
Do you have an example?
Even something like just talking back, literally even something like that, you know, just literally just responding or just questioning. Sometimes, you know, it can be just seen as like you're talking back, even though you might just be asking a question. And that would be deemed as, well, this is like a British behaviour, because, you know, like, that's not what a Zimbabwe child type does. You know, it's just like stuff like that. It's like, you know, random things that aren't things, but they're made to be things. But, you know, once I'm there, because I was even like conscious before going, I was kind of like, okay, I don't really know what this trip is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be like super happy, or if it's going to bring like a lot of random pain, or like, I don't know what this is going to be. Maybe I've hyped this up so much that it's going to be like absolutely not it type thing. Do you know what I mean? So I really didn't know. But I remember just being that, it's like you're trying to not stand out, but at the same time, because everyone in the community knows everyone, they also know that you're not from there. So it's like you're trying to be inconspicuous, but everyone can clearly see you, so it's like there's no hiding from it. Yeah, so then it just becomes really, it's like, oh, come, sick. It was a weird thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, I've been doing, why am I hyping up when it's really not that? So coming back here, I don't know, it just kind of felt like, okay. Whether I'm back home is very accepting of the fact that this is also like what my upbringing is and stuff like that. I don't know, you just, I guess growing up, you hear so many different things that just kind of clouds like your own thinking, you know, when people are really trying to mold you and you're trying to really find your own path and stuff like that, it's like, there's just, yeah, I guess it's a lot of anxieties that come from that. So things, I don't know, just random things just alleviate that sometimes. Like, I have no idea what it's going to be. It's just that.
Because your exhibition features poems as well as like photographs that capture the daily life of what you saw there.
Yeah.
I want to ask, and there's also this tapestry that is about a key moment in the history of Zimbabwe. Do you feel like going there, you realised that the education you got, or maybe like how you viewed the history of Zimbabwe, has that changed since you went back? Because I know me, coming from like a former colony, when I was in school, we weren't taught about the perspective of like the colonised. We were taught about like the colonizer's narrative. So I wonder if that's kind of how you...
You know, it definitely did change kind of... I don't know, it was just such a transformative trip in terms, I think really and truly just because of just when you see what theory is, just be practical. There's just something about just seeing something tangible, do you know? Because, I was never taught the history, like, through, like, our schooling here or stuff like that. And honestly, like, even to this day, like, whenever I do come into contact with people that, you know... find out I'm from Zim or anything. You know, we've all had the same schooling. You know, the one thing that people have as a reference point is like, oh, Mugabe, man. Like, they really love hitting me with, oh, Mugabe, man. And I'm just like, yeah, he existed. Like, I don't really, you know? And it's just like, why is that the one thing you guys know? Like, what's up with that?
Random.
Like, it's just you know, it's such a weird thing, so... You know, I was doing my own reading. I think, you know, my mom was also just very, I'd say, you know, I say it as a joke. You know, she's just like so prideful of where she came from or where she comes from that she's like borderline nationalism. Do you know? You know when it's like someone's just so patriotic and stuff, and you're just a bit like, it's a bit dangerous.
There's a fine line.
Yeah, it's like there's a very fine line of like what you're doing here. I'm just so real, you know. So because of that, I was just always doing my own readings. Like, there was always, like, she was always very much like, yo, these guys aren't going to teach you about you. Like, you need to know your own things type thing. So she kind of always put us on to just things from when we were really young. So it wasn't like, you know, getting to Zim, I wouldn't understand why things are the way they are. You know, I'd also just up to date with just news, you know, just stay logged in and stuff like that. I think what kind of changed is, again, it's like, yo, you can read things. And I think this is also, I think sometimes this is where things can become problematic without even realizing. It's like you can read things and you can really learn the history of a place through books and all of that stuff there. But one, who wrote the books, what's their perspective, all of those things. So even just to find like text on Zimbabwe that's written by Zimbabweans has like been the biggest mission. Like, you know, I had to really, really do like go above and beyond just to find things that like I felt like I should just know, you know. But what kind of changed it is like, I don't know, you get an opportunity to talk to the people. Like, it's really when you talk to people, people will always just give you the real of what something is. And you just see how things live in the daily lives of people, you know, how different experiences shape just things day to day, what you can and can't do, things that might be so normal to me, but are just so not it, you know, somewhere else and stuff like that. Just because of random things. Like, as you can see in the exhibition, I take a lot of photos. So I've always got my cameras and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, you're not really meant to just have your camera out like that in Zim. You know, freedom of speech is not the same that it is here. So certain things that can be deemed as, you're a journalist, like, what are you doing? Like, are you... So it's things that you just, I don't know, you just come into contact them. And then you just question, well, why is this a thing? And just that, well, why is this a thing? You just learn something. You know, you just learn a new history of, like, it might even be a more specific history where it's like someone will give you a story that of their own experiences or someone they knew, as opposed to you kind of reading in theory, oh, you had millions of people that went through, you know, kind of humanizes it a bit.
Yeah, it's more. The real thing.
Yeah, it's just something you can connect to a bit more, like you can resonate with that a bit more. So, yeah.
Yeah. Is there like an object or a tradition that makes you feel connected to that heritage?
There's not any one thing, I don't think, anymore. I think, I don't know, when I was younger and a bit more insecure and all those, and trying to make sense of these two different identities and stuff that existed, I feel like back then there was maybe more things that I kind of hold on to. You know, you might hold on to, I don't know, like I've always held on really tightly to like the music that I was kind of, that I grew up on. I think that's probably the closest thing, but even then it's like music's not an object, so it's, you know? And it's like you kind of just, you can lean into those things because Roger Robinson speaks in his poem, A Portable Paradise, of this thing that you have that you can just kind of refer to just keep you going. You know, these things that just sustain you through times. And it's like, in a way, things are always kind of like that. You know, like music's always kind of been that for me. It was never really a physical, I don't know, because then I kind of question, I'm like, well, what would that be? Like, you know, life isn't that different over there. Like, we're doing the exact same things here and there, so it's like, what could that one thing be? It's honestly not that different. Like, it's just trying to make sense of things that have been explained to you, like a lot of things in the world, like they're meant to, like, things get explained as though they're so different, and like, because of the differences, like, there's so much fear that should be had and stuff like that. But when you honestly just get to the conversations, like, it's all the same thing. Like, it's a bit, I don't know, it's just funny.
No, yeah, well, because you're talking about music and, like, storytelling and all of that, I want to ask a bit about your creative process, because you're a multidisciplinary artist, you know, you do painting, writing, photography, and more. How do you begin to create? It's a tough one, maybe.
Yeah. I start by staring.
Okay.
I realize that. I start by staring. It's like, I don't know, you're just trying to like zone out to try and, I don't know, because it feels like when someone asks a question, and I think it's even why I say I don't know so much and there's so many tangents and stuff, it just feels like there's like infinite possibilities of what answers and things could be. Like, there's just so many different avenues that life offers that it's like, well, what do you do when you can kind of do anything? Do you know what I mean? It's almost like that decision paralysis or whatever they call it. So I find like staring just kind of helps me just kind of like zone out and like zone in. So that often helps. And then whatever train of thought, whatever just kind of comes up of the ether is just kind of what I'm just like, what's that? And I'll just kind of just like hanging out with that for a few hours, just kind of see what comes of that, you know, what trains of thoughts come. I think the other side of it is like you never really stop creating. It's just like how you live life. So it's like, I don't know, all experiences will inform something at some point. So it's, you know, I'll be having a conversation. Even right now, it's like, I don't know, and I'll just pick up on something, or I might just, I don't know, there's just all these feelings and things that you're just constantly dissecting and interrogating. And
do you feel like it starts with a story for you, or with an art form, or like a medium that you want to explore?
This is the difficult side of being interdisciplinary. It's kind of like, it feels like if there's like, if I was like a triplet, maybe like life would be easier, because I could just be like, you go do that or something. But I don't know, like for me, it is very, it's a difficult balance of trying to not be just chilling with the fairies all the time and just kind of being like, oh, you know, pull this back and, you know, zone into something. But at the same time, you also want that because just the playfulness aspect of that and just kind of like what that just affords you and just kind of where it opens to life. I think, I don't know, it's music really just starts everything for me, to be honest. If I'm being complete, if I can pinpoint it to something, it's music is really what it's kind of like all born out of. Just press shuffle on a playlist sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's just music. It's like whatever. I think that's even kind of like in regards to like the show and stuff, you know, I kind of mentioned that it's like, you know, been influenced by like country and like gospel and like blues and stuff. It might not necessarily be like I'm trying to make a song or something. It's just kind of like, I don't know, you just feel it. You just feel the emotions that they're speaking about. They're not really shying away from just what experiences they've had. And I kind of think about that, and I think about just how someone can offer you that honesty and why they're doing it, you know. And then, you know, you receive it, and, you know, you do take stock of the fact that, you know, it has changed you in some way. You know, someone's just shared a piece of themselves with you, like, you do acknowledge it, like. And then it just goes from there. Like, I was speaking to someone about this piece of work I made the other day, and I was kind of talking about the conflict I kind of feel from sharing certain things. And we were kind of just saying the work kind of comes from that conflict.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, you just kind of interrogate that, and whatever happens.
Well, that's beautiful.
I appreciate you, man.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Was really amazing learning more about you as an artist and as a person.
Thank you very much.
If you guys want to see Son Leo's work here at the Roundhouse Bar and Cafe, the exhibition is up until June 24th.
I believe so.
Yes, it's free and there's no need to book. So come see it. It's really fascinating.
Pull up. Yeah, man.
Thank you. Well,
thank you guys so much.
If you want to learn more about Son Liwei's work, you can visit sonliweipamisa.com. Eloise is producing a podcast for Transmission Roundhouse. The Last Word FM is powered by Transmission Roundhouse and part of the Last Word Festival program at the Roundhouse.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.